ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. What's the verse 32? So this one. So we're in verse 32 in the 10th canto of the 7th chapter, the killing of the demon Trinavarta. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for this opportunity to have your association here in New Dwarka. Hare Krishna. So, Kim Nas Tapash Chirnam Adhokshajar Chanam Purdeshtatatam Uta Bhutashauridam Yat Sampareta Punar eva balako dishtya swabhandhun pranayan upashtitaha kim nasta paschir namad hoksha jarchanang purteshta dattam utabhuta saurhidam Yat sampareta punareva balako Dishtya swabhandun pranayan upashtita Kinnashta pashtirnam adhoksha jarchanam Purteshta dattam utabhuta saurhidam Yat samparetak punareva balako Dishtya swabhandun pranayan upashtitaha Kinnashta paschirnam adhoksha jarchanam Purteshta dattam utabhuta saurhidam Yat samparetak punareva balako Dishtya swabhandhun pranayan upashtitaha Tatam Nidabhuta Sauridam Yak Samparetak Punareva Balako Yishya Swabhandum Pranayan Upashtita Kinna Tapaschir Namadhoksha Jarchanam Uteshta dhatam utabhuta sauridam Yat samparetak punareva balako Yat Ishya Swabhandun Pranayan Upashtitaha. Kinashta Pascharnam Madhoksha Jarjanam. Uteshta Dattum Adabhutta Salhidam. Yat Samparetat Punareva Balako. Dishtya Swabhandun Pranayan Upashtitaha. Kinnascha paschirna madhoksha jarchanam purteshta dattam uta bhuta sauridam yat samparetat punareva balako dishtya swabhandun pranayan upashtita. Ladies. Kinnashta paschirna madhoksha jartanam purteshta dattam uta bhuta sauridam yat samparetat punareva balako dishtya swabhandun pranayam upashtita. Kinnashta paschirna madhoksha jarchanam purteshta dattam uta bhuta sauridham yat samparetat punareva balako dishtya swabhandum pranayam upashtitaha. Himnashta paschirna madhoksha jarchanam uteshta dattam uta bhuta sauridam yat samparetat punareva balako dishtya jadandum pranayam upashtita. Kim? What kind of? Na, by us. Tapa, austerity. Chirnam, has been done for a very long time. Adhokshaja, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Archanam, worshipping. Purita, constructing public roads, etc. Ishta, activities for public benefit. Dattam, giving charity. Uta, or else. Uta sauridam, because of love for the general public. Yat, by the result of which. Samparetta, even though the child was practically lost in death. Puna eva, even again because of pious activities. Balaka, the child. Dishtya, by fortune. Swabandhun, all his relatives. Pranayan, to please. Upashtita, is present here. Nanda Maharaj, translation. Nanda Maharaj and others said, we must previously have performed austerities for a very long time, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, perform pious activities for public life, constructing public roads and wells, and also given in charity, as a result of which this boy, although faced with death, has returned to give happiness to his relatives. Please repeat, Nanda Maharaj and the others said. We must previously have performed austerities for a very long time. Worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Perform pious activities for public life. Constructing public roads and wells, and also given charity, as a result of which this boy, although faced with death, has returned to give happiness to his relatives. Report. Nanda Maharaj confirmed that by pious activities, one can become a sadhu, so that one will be happy at home and one's children will be protected. In Shastra, there are many injunctions for karmis and jnanis, especially for karmis, by which they can become pious and happy even in material life. According to Vedic civilization, one should perform activities for the benefit of the public, such as constructing public roads, planting trees on both sides of the road so that people can walk in the shade, and constructing public wells so that everyone can take water without difficulty. One should perform austerity to control one's desires, and one must simultaneously worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, one becomes pious, and as a result, one is happy, even in material conditions of life. Hare Krishna. So, pastimes of Krishna, which, you know, Krishna's activities, which he performs in this material world, are for our benefit. And Krishna has fun doing that also. And he also has a mission to accomplish, right? As he says in Bhagavad Gita, that he's come to annihilate the miscreants and to establish the religious. So these activities he performs are meant to attract those who are conditioned souls in the material world to him. Now, and that attraction is based on our original nature, because originally we are all Krishna conscious living entities. We are all naturally attracted to Krishna. It's just that in this material world we have become conditioned by the modes of material nature. And the modes of material natures convinced us to be more attracted to material energy in the form of sense gratification. So without Krishna coming and performing these pastimes and doing these wonderful activities and exhibiting his beauty and his opulences, right? Krishna is Bhagavan, or the possessor of all opulences, to an unlimited degree. I mean, we may think someone is very opulent if they're very strong. But Krishna was so strong, he lifted Govardhan Hill with the pinky of his left hand effortlessly. So how strong is that? We can't even imagine. Because even the strongest man in our experience, or woman, or animal, or anything, requires effort to perform his Herculean activity. Even Hercules was straining. The famous Hercules pulling down the pillars. He was straining to do that. He didn't do it effortlessly. So how strong is Krishna? The wealth. How wealthy is Krishna? He owns everything. Right? And he exhibited just a little smidgen of that in his when he had 16,108 wives. And palaces for all of them. And the palaces were decorated like we might think we have a diamond ring, right? A woman gets engaged and they give her a little diamond like this, a diamond ring. But Krishna was looking himself in the diamonds like a mirror, right? Seeing his reflection in the jewels in his palaces. So his wealth is beyond our comprehension. Krishna's possession of opulences is beyond our comprehension. We can't even imagine it. So he comes to just exhibit these simple pastimes, where here he's just a young baby, and all of a sudden this whirlwind demon comes in and snatches Krishna away and takes him way up in the sky. And what's Krishna's reaction to that? He's not crying. What did he do? He gave him a little tap on the head or something, and he fell back to the earth. And even from falling all that way, Krishna just ends up usually landing on top of these demons, and they find him there playing. So this is unimaginable to our material concept of anything. Just like Krishna lifting Govardhan downhill, that's unimaginable. We can go pick up a mushroom or something like that, but that's just a mushroom. It doesn't hardly weigh anything. Mushrooms are very light, and they're not very attached to the earth either. So picking them up is probably the easiest thing for us. Whereas Krishna lift up this giant Govardhan downhill. Those of you who've been to India, you've seen how big Govardhan downhill is, and he just lifted it effortlessly. That's the key, effortlessly. But this is Krishna. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are, although we like to think we're supreme and that we're a center of activities and that we're kind of a god, we are not. So what kind of activities, if we compare our activities to Krishna's activities, can we perform? Not very great activities. So the Vedic scriptures offer us activities which we can perform where we can at least live a peaceful life in the material world. Because just living a life of sense gratification is not a peaceful life. Because the nature of sense gratification is that it doesn't satisfy. It never satisfies, right? It says it's just like fire. Fire is never satisfied. You put wood on the fire and it just wants more wood. Just keeps burning and burning. You even put gasoline, it just gets bigger. So sense gratification is like that. It really doesn't set like fire. It doesn't satisfy the self. So engaging in sense gratification doesn't satisfy us. But therefore, the Vedas provide activities for those who would like to live peacefully in the material world. As it mentions here, right? You can plant trees. That's a very nice thing to do. Even the Karmis, they like to plant trees. They think that's good. They call the tree huggers, right? Those that want to preserve the trees. They would probably criticize us because we use trees to print books. But these books are about Krishna. That's the proper use of that. If that's the only thing we can do is print, of course, now you can put stuff on a computer. You don't even need to print paper. So maybe we can do like that. But Prabhupada wanted these books because they'll last. Even when computers aren't there, the books will be here. But the point is that these activities are prescribed there for those who are or in the material world and who want to live happy in a material condition of life. But devotees are different. We want to be happy. Everyone wants to be happy. But we understand that real happiness exists in the spiritual platform, in the spiritual consciousness. Because that's who we are. We're spirits. We're spiritual by nature. Like the fish out of water, right? Fish can't be happy unless he's in his natural environment. So we also cannot be happy. We really can't be satisfied. We may be able to live peacefully in this material world for some time if we live according to some Vedic principles. But that's not going to satisfy us ultimately. In order to satisfy ourselves ultimately, we have to, as Prabhupada says in this one line, to kind of sum it all up, we should perform austerity to control one's desires, and one must simultaneously worship the Supreme Personality of God. So that's the key. That's like Varnashram Dharma, right? We talk about Varnashram Dharma. And that is a great way to live our life. And we're all living that, actually, according to that, although we don't, that subject matter is not often talked about, or it has been talked about and has been disagreed upon and so forth. But we are living according to that. We see householders, we see brahmacharis, we see vanaprasthas on occasion, we see sannyasis. This is all part of the varnashram system. We have engagement, we work accordingly. It's all according to that. But the key is the daivi part, the transcendental part, the engagement in devotional service, because that's what brings it all together. When Prabhupada began to recommend Varnashram Dharma more heavily, it was because people weren't devotees, not just people, but devotees weren't engaging in the daivi part enough. You know, they said, Prabhupada, but you said to just chant Hare Krishna, we're all transcendental to that. But he said, well, we're not chanting. Or we're not doing the sadhana, the practice of Krishna consciousness that goes along with how to live our life, with goes along with the culture. Because it's not just a varnashram culture, this is Krishna culture. Culture means the behavior of a people according to their beliefs. The behavior, how we behave, how do we do, how do we act, what are our activities on a constant basis. So how we act is according to our belief. Right? We can see materialists. It's easy for us to see them because they're not us. So we can look at, point finger at them easily. So what is their belief? Their belief is that to enjoy the senses is the goal of life. Right? He who has the most toys at the end wins, like that. So then they have a certain behavior. And there's all kinds of behaviors out there to meet that end. Right? From one end of the spectrum to the other end of the material spectrum. Right? Some think that to drink and to smoke and to have sex and take drugs and all that, that's going to satisfy the senses. And so they engage in that way. Because their belief is that to satisfy the senses, we'll do it. Some are more in the mode of goodness, and they think to save trees, to conserve this, and to have energy efficiency and so forth, that even to be vegetarian and so forth, that these are to be vegan. Most of them, well, they want to be vegan or something. So because their belief still is that to satisfy ourselves, that's the goal of life. To satisfy ourselves, which means our senses, basically. Body means senses. The body is made up of the senses. But devotees, just want to satisfy Krishna, right? Pure devotional service is ahoitu kiya pratiyata, right? It's unmotivated and it's uninterrupted. And what is that? Motivation means that we don't want for ourselves. We just want to satisfy Krishna. And we don't have interruption, meaning that that's what we do all the time. Right? Yesterday, I think Dudakarma Prabhu spoke about Prabhupada not sleeping much, right? Nidra, he was talking about sleep and how Prabhupada didn't sleep much. Some devotees report, I think Mahabodhi talks about how he was with Prabhupada for a week and he never really saw him sleep. He was guarding him and he was always around him. He would lay down, but he was always murmuring, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And other devotees who have guarded him say they would all of a sudden get up at 1 or 2 in the morning and they would hear Prabhupada dictating. So, and we know that all day long he was engaged in some service to Krishna. either chanting his rounds, preaching to devotees, writing letters. How else could you do all the stuff that Prabhupada did in such a time? All these books that Prabhupada translated. And it's not that he just translated them, but he oversaw their production. He oversaw the paintings that were meant to go in there and show pictures of the philosophy. He oversaw the whole thing. And at the same time, he's traveling all over the world, preaching to devotees every day, giving Bhagavatam class or Bhagavad Gita class or some kind of class, meeting with people and speaking to them, doing preaching engagements, writing letters. How many letters? Probably 50, 60,000, something like that, letters that Prabhupada wrote. Anybody even written 100 letters in their lifetime here? Teaching devotees how to cook. Teaching them how to do everything. So this is Krishna consciousness. And it's not that Prabhupada is the only devotee that should be like this. He wanted all of us to become like this. It's said that the father is happy when his son does more than him. Does greater than him. Right? Father starts some big business and he looks forward to his son taking over. So he doesn't want the business to get smaller. The nature of businessmen is they want always to increase. They never have enough. The business is never big enough. Right? So when the son takes over, he wants it to double. Prabhupada always said, double the book distribution, double this, double that. So this is Prabhupada, and this is what he wants for us, and how we can do it is simply by engaging in devotional service. And devotional service in this age culminates in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right? The blissful process. Right? Parama Karuna. Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, they came chanting and dancing, asking us to partake in this blissful process. Hariar Nam Eva Kevalam, simply joyful. Mangalam Mangale Bhyopi, the sweetest of all, the most auspicious of all activities, the purest of activities is what? The chanting of the holy name. And it can be a chore sometimes to chant Hare Krishna, but that's when duty comes in. Because duty is not based on our own sense gratification. Because if we only chant Hare Krishna when it feels good or when we want to, then that's still, we're thinking about ourselves. Just like if we only serve Krishna when we want to, or if we think it's good for us, or because we can offer pizza and then we can like that and then we can eat that. That's not really pure devotional service. That's a beginning. So we chant Hare Krishna in the good times and the bad times. It's kind of like a marriage, right? When someone gets married, they say in good health or in bad health, in happiness, in distress, whatever the conditions, we're going to stay married. We're going to stay together. So Krishna consciousness is like that. We marry into, or we become initiated. Right? The same thing. Same thing. Very serious thing to do. To take initiation. And it moves us to the human platform of life. And a human being is responsible. His responsibility is to figure out who he is and what his purpose in life is. And that's Krishna consciousness. Finding out who we are, who God is, and what our relationship is. And when we find that out, then we know that's one of devotional service, one of service to God. And all of that comes about through this chanting. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this is the only way in this age. This is the iron age, the age of Kali. And iron is dense, hard substance. Right? You get hit in the head with an iron bar and it really hurts. Really hurts. So this age is very dense. And that's symptomatic of us. We're kind of dense. So this Hare Krishna mantra can penetrate the density of sense gratification, the density of desire just to enjoy for ourselves, and revive our original Krishna consciousness. So please always happily engage in this chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Any comments or blasts that you'd like to give me?
Can you give some practical examples of the enjoyment? Because even materially, spiritually, you still want some enjoyment. Especially when you're maybe you're not in that Paramahansa state, but you want everything for Krishna.
So could you give some examples of the in your, all these years you've seen devotees who actually do enjoy naturally, comes by doing service.
You mean example, personality, yes. Named or example?
Devotees that you might see in yourself, your practical realizations.
Well, how can you do something for... Well, no, that's not... I guess you could answer that question. But, I mean, you've been around for 40 years at least, right? Pretty close to 40 years. And you're still coming every day? So you don't do that because you don't like it. You do it because you like it. And whenever I see you, it makes me happy. Whenever I see you, you smile and you chant Hare Krishna and you enjoy the kirtan. So many devotees we see. By these activities. We're doing it. So many, you see devotees, look around, you see devotees been doing it for so long. Years and years. You may say, well, the karmis have been trying to enjoy for years and years, and they still go on. But we know the result of that. But I don't know.
By the way, since I know you're very fond of Harinam, we have Harinam in Santa Monica.
Today?
Yeah. It's going to be a...
What time?
We leave from here at 5:30.
Ah, okay. And, I'll be here.
I remember when you used to have the bus, that big bus, and we all go in Harinam.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. So I remember you, my dad.
Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna. Could you address the global need for the Hare Krishna mantra in a time when communication seems to have jammed all these jivas together without any knowledge at all of how to coexist?
I think the need is always there. I mean, to think that there's more need now than ever, or that it's a different time, and it's really the same thing that's been going on since time immemorial in this material world. It may take on different forms, but the same thing is going on. The need is just as great now. Whatever can inspire us to realize that's the important thing. In other words, if there's some particular thing that can inspire us to do more to spread the holy name, then that's great. But the need, I think, is always there, and it's going to be there in this material world. It's just the way it is. It's nature, material world. We always need it because this is not the natural place for conditioned souls to be in.
Well, do you see any methodology or process by which we can not only reach them but transform them through hearing the Maha Mantra in a global level?
Well, first of all, we have to become more pure ourselves. Because, you know, it says that if you hear the mantra from the wrong kind of person, then that can be like poison, right? And poison them. But if you hear it from the right person, if you hear it from the pure devotee, then that can liberate us. So first of all, we have to become pure ourselves. And then all we have to do is engage others in the process. If they simply hear the mantra, then they're benefited from the devotees. So Harinam is a great thing to do. It may only reach the people around us, but it'll encourage others to go on Harinam all over the world and distribute books, Prabhupada's books, right? They're the Brihat Mridanga. They're the Harinam that can go into people's homes and everything. So the process is all there. I don't think there's anything. I mean, we can always invent new and inventive ways of doing the same basic thing. Chanting Hare Krishna and distributing Prabhupada's books and distributing prasadam. Yes, sir.
Thank you for a very nice class on short notice, Prabhu. Thank you very much for doing that. Gauranga Prema Prabhu was here. He was originally scheduled, but he was a little late. So Vatsal Prabhu jumped in and gave class. Thank you. And Narayan's question, yes, you answered very nicely. Prabhupada already gave us the methodology. It's called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Those who don't travel very much, they kind of get locked up in their little local situations, and they don't see how globally it's happening. But I'm fortunate enough to travel every year. I take at least two major trips, and everywhere you go, the same basic formula works. Devotees go out on Harinam in Minsk, or they go out on Harinam in anywhere in the world. And the people are attracted. So many things are happening in the material world, huge billboards, this, that, and as soon as the Harinam party comes, everybody turns Hare Krishna. So the proper formula works. Go out on Harinam, distribute books, distribute prasadam, and people will be attracted and they will be benefited.
Right. Prabhupada said we're trying to pick off those that are close to becoming attracted to Krishna, right? So maybe it gets harder and harder as we go on because we pick people off. And so now we have to create their benefit. So gradually, there should be a big influx. After 50 years of chanting Hare Krishna and distributing Prabhupada's books, people should have come to the point of, and now it's just a process of there's always someone ready to become Krishna conscious or be attracted to Krishna, at least. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
From what you speak, Being in a couple of ways, your main service, or the person who's being in the world,